Father God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. There's no God like you, O God, in all the earth. We thank you, Father God, that we have found the true and living God. Or rather, you have found us, O God, and you have brought us into your kingdom. And we desire to bring many others into your kingdom. And many others may come to know you, O God, many without hope and without a God, without a vision and without a purpose in life. O God, there are many out there. We ask, O Father, that you help us to tell the story of Jesus to them, that they may have a chance to know you. And we ask, O God, that as your word is shared, that you would cause your word to be like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And then you will cause your word to come alive to each one of us. Reveal Jesus to us, O Lord, through your word. And cause us that we may experience Jesus as we sit at his feet. Let the Spirit of truth guide and lead each one of us into the fullness of your understanding and truth. We proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. We proclaim him as King over all the earth. We thank you, Father God, and we covenant with you to give you all the glory, worship, and honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, Amen. This message in the second service is a continuation from our first service. And during this 1 month, Lord has given a message for the church, and we have taken this Sunday to deliver it. And his message is to proclaim a fast. And we are proclaiming a fast from the 1st of May, although today is the 5th, it's not too late to start. We are proclaiming a fast from the 1st of May right up to June the 2nd, where the fast will be over. June the 9th will be our anniversary. And it's a 1 month fast that the Lord has instructed to proclaim. There will be 3 fasts that we will be proclaiming this year. And we have 5 reasons or 5 principles or reasons from the Bible for a corporate fast. And we have shared 2 of them in the first service this morning, and we'll be sharing 3 others in the second service. And the passage of scripture that we are taking from is from the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, chapter 8. You find that from time to time, God instructs and calls his people to a fast. And I believe the time has come for us to do that. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, in verse 18 and 19, we know that the context refers to the Jews and Israel, and they do not refer to our calendar when it says 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, or 5th month. They do not refer to January to December, our Gregorian calendar, but they refer to the Jewish calendar. And this is a special instruction in a context more to the Jews. However, God has somehow quickened that passage onto this church here at this time. And this is the word from the Lord. And we give it with a thus says the Lord. It says here in verse 18 to 19, then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the 4th month, the fast of the 5th, the fast of the 7th, and the fast of the 10th shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah, Therefore, love truth and peace. In our usual blessing, we have been blessing each one of you, saying the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now God somehow quickened this passage unto me as He gives the instruction to proclaim a fast. And I repeat again, theologically and scripturally speaking, the fourth month does not refer to April. But somehow in our context, this scripture jumped out of the scriptures and God brought it forth and said this is for the church. And for us, the fourth month is April, and that's already over. And the fasts of the fourth month are individual fasts. The Spirit of God says that He has already spoken to several of you individually to fast here and there throughout the months of March and April. But the fast of the fifth month, which is the month of May for us, will be a corporate fast. It will last for exactly 1 month, from the 1st of May, and it will end on June the 2nd on a Sunday service. And since our church comprises of different peoples in different professions at different levels, some of you may be doing different types of jobs that require more energetic activities than others, we have proclaimed a fast. And we recommend a liquid or a vegetable fast, or whatever kind of fast you are capable of. On some days you may want a total fast, and some other days a liquid fast. But overall, over the 1 month, let it be the principle of the fast. In other words, if after about 2 weeks and you find weakened and you need to do a heavy labor job, then and you eat something to strengthen yourself just for that day, that's fine. But it is not a similar fast that we're observing, but we want to proclaim a corporate fast where each one of us, according to our ability, according to our strength, according to our experience, would seek God and fast corporately for 1 month. Throughout the whole month of May, ending on June the 2nd. And then there will be another proclamation that will come forth on the 7th month, which for us will be the fast of the 7th month, which will take place in July. And that will be from July the 7th to July the 14th, ending in our official ceremony, official opening ceremony of our new church premises. We will remind you of that when the time draws near. And there will be a 1 week fast. There will be another fast on the 10th month, which is the month of October. Many things will take place between now and October, both nationally and spiritually. And we will proclaim when the time draws near the 3-day fast that we will corporately observe during the month of October. It will begin on one of the Thursdays and end on a Sunday, a 3-day fast. We will let you know which Thursday we will begin it, on which date in October it will be. But we like to be obedient to the Spirit of God and proclaim a fast. There will be 3 fast proclamations this year. And so the first of our corporate fast is during the month of May. It is a fast month for us as we prepare ourselves to go into the new church premises. And we are giving 5 different reasons for corporate fast. Reason number 1, which we cover in the first service, is from Isaiah 58. And we have said that it is a fast to break the chains of darkness. Not necessarily your problems, my problems, or the problems of our own life, but the chains of darkness over this city and over this nation. The darkness that prevents people from coming to know the Lord, that prevents people from receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that prevents the gospel from being proclaimed. And we will fast corporately for that to take place, that the powers of darkness will be arrested and will be stopped and will be annihilated, removed, and will be driven away as a church. And we have mentioned in the first service that when we move into our new premises on June the 2nd, we are taking a responsibility of leadership in the church world. By far, it will be the largest church building in this country, and we need to take that responsibility with fasting and prayer. It is a gift of God that we receive an inheritance of being in such a building, and we need to prepare ourselves to receive it with fasting and prayer. And we must realize that it comes with a responsibility to lead the body of Christ throughout the land. And we must take on this responsibility in fasting and prayer. The second reason we have given is from the book of 2 Chronicles 20 and various passages in the book of Daniel, that it is a fast. It doesn't matter, you can leave her if she's alright. It won't distract me at all. Yeah. If she can't get up, just leave her. Enjoy the presence of God. Will you all be distracted? You won't, will you? If you're not, I won't be. So she'll be fine. Okay? Just enjoy the presence of God. Yeah. Thank you for your concern and help. And praise God. And sometimes God does a deep work that each one of us cannot see, but it's in the spirit world. So praise God. The second reason is that it will be a fast to seek the revelation and the wisdom of God. We will not have so much problem raising the finances. It is not that there is so much our concern. The greatest concern is, do we have enough character transformation in our life to be able to receive all that God wants us to? And that's why we need to fast and to pray. And it is no problem to God to raise millions of dollars or billions of dollars. But we must remember that the greatest change is the change of our lives. And that is why we need to fast and pray. It is never a financial problem. It's always an idea problem. Problem of wisdom. And so we need to fast and pray to seek revelation and wisdom, so that in every area and every step of the way, we will walk according to the way God wants us to walk. And every step that we need to take, we will take it. And God will give the grace to take it. So that's the second area of the fast, second reason for fast that we have covered in the first service. The third reason for the fast that we are bringing forth here is in the book of Joel. So please turn with me to the book of Joel. We did include in the fast all the needs, etc. But remember, it is a very, very wide scope that we are covering. If we were just fasting for needs, a total fast of 1 24-hour total fast or a 3-day total fast would have been sufficient to cover it. But we are covering more areas than that. That is why we will need to fast one whole month. In the book of Joel, God proclaims a revival coming forth. The one that Peter mentions about in the book of Acts 2. But we're going to look at the reference in Joel first. And notice that sometimes it is a thus says the Lord. And the Lord says in verse 14, Joel chapter 1, verse 14, consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. So that is why we have proclaimed a fast in obedience to the Lord. And the Lord has called us to proclaim a fast. We will proclaim a fast. And each one of us, according to our ability, let's partake and join together corporately. You will find that as we all fast together as a church, it will be easier. Because there will be an invisible atmosphere that covers the whole city, Klang Valley, and the whole nation as we fast corporately. Where two agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them in heaven. As it is, shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much more when we call the whole church to fast together? Get ready for an explosion of miracles. Amen. So we are proclaiming a fast, and you'll find that there will be a special grace during this month to fast. And chapter 2, now fast according to your ability. Some of you may have ability to only fast one meal, or to take one meal a day. Some may go further than that, a liquid, or some on just vegetables or whatever. Go on whatever fast that God strengthens you in. Do not be condemned if you're not able to go like another person. But each one of us, just do your best to seek God on behalf of Tabernacle of Glory, bowing our knees before God corporately, humbling ourselves before God as one body and one church together in our Lord. So they proclaim a fast, and in chapter 2, it says here in verse 21, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things." And then he goes on in verse 28 to talk about the outpouring of the Spirit, which Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2. And our third reason for a fast is because a fast always precedes a move of God. And we believe that there is a fresh new move of God that we must prepare ourselves for. And we need to consecrate ourselves to God in fasting and in prayer before God in preparation for reason number 3, a fresh move of God that is coming forth. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, when it came to a new dispensation, Jesus had died, buried, and resurrected, and was ascended on high. And he has commissioned his disciples saying, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Spirit of God has come upon you." He knew that a new dimension of the Spirit was coming to take place in their lives. And he specifically instructed them to pray together. And although it's not mentioned, it's implied that for 10 days they continually pray with fasting and with waitings upon the Lord. They prayed, they fasted, and they waited upon the Lord. When they waited on God for 10 days, it is more likely that they were waiting in fasting and prayer rather than feasting together. Nay, it says they were with one accord in prayer together. And did they need to do that? You see, there was a new thing that was happening in Acts 2. The Spirit of God was going to come, and it will be a new dimension in the Church of Jesus Christ. And for that, they waited for 10 days, 24 hours a day in the upper room. And for us, God has instructed that we consecrate a month of fasting together. A month of fasting as we prepare ourselves for the move of God. The fourth reason that we need to fast is in the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. It says here in verse 1 to verse 3, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" And even though they had fasted and prayed and ministered to the Lord, when the Lord spoke, they still fasted and prayed. You see, it didn't take place over a few minutes. It may have taken place over several days before they, as they fasted and prayed for them.
Many times when we fast and pray and God give an answer, we say hallelujah and we go and eat and have your char kway teow. But here, after they fasted, they prayed and they ministered to God and God spoke and said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, they still fasted and prayed to consecrate themselves even more to God. So fasting is always good. As we have said in this morning service in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, among many things, said, in fastings often. If Paul the apostle has fasted often in order to bring the kingdom of God to the nations of the world in his time, to transform cities, to turn the nations unto God, he says in fastings often. That means he did it very, very often. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And throughout his entire ministry over 3 years, we realize from accounts that he has fasted here and there, here and there. So we realize if Jesus fasted, Paul fasted, how much more you and I need to seek God with fasting and prayer to bring for the kingdom of God to our nation and to this city. And here, when God has spoken, they still fasted and prayed. Reason number 4, even though we have 5 ministers in our midst that have come forth and a reason out of much fasting, prayer, travail, etc., we have a lot of prayer meetings going on all the time, and keep them going, keep them strong. They have been wonderful. But yet we need to add more fasting as we prepare for that move that God has for our life. Because reason number 4, there are even more 5-fold ministers that God wants to raise from our midst with powerful special anointings. And 5-fold ministers are born out of fellowships of fastings and prayers like that. And not only 5-fold ministers, but Christian entrepreneurs that God wants to raise, that will not be ordinary businessmen or women, but they will be anointed businessmen and businesswomen. Hallelujah. And God wants to raise 5-fold ministers and the Joseph generation and all the different things that God has in store for the decade of Isaiah 60, from 1996 to 2006. And that is why as we enter this new decade, as God is raising it forth, the 5-fold ministers and all the ministries of God in the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to fast and pray. That's reason number 4. Reason number 5, a very, very sacred and important reason. Even the 5th reason is good enough to fast. It's from the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. In the passage that we're looking at is Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Now we realize that the building of our church is now in progress and we'll be in it by June the 2nd. And don't forget, on June the 2nd, our service is from 9 to 12:30 or 1 at the latest. So we'll start sharp at 9. Worship will go on right up to 10:45, 10:30. And from 10:30 to 11, they'll be putting the brakes on unless the Spirit of God leads. And if there's any ministry, I'll be taking over about 10:30, 10:45, and minister. And right after about 11, and then we will be having our announcements and Lord's Supper up to 11:30 or so. And then we have a 1-hour message to 12:30. From 12:30, we'll be putting on the brakes. And we'll break completely at 1 o'clock. As the Spirit of God leads. Okay. Although we do all those things, and we are still open to the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And after we announced from 9 to 1, somebody in our fellowship was sharing about from 1 you go to 1:30, then 1:30 go to 2, 2:30 go to 2:30, 2:30, after that it's the same. In my spirit, I do not feel that it will be that way. Okay? Praise the Lord. And because it will be a larger crowd that we minister to, there are some changes that we have made to cater for people of different levels. And we will continue to have powerful, many new types of meeting we will be having that we announce in our new place to cater for the strong. And we have Nehemiah chapter 6 in verse 15 and 16. It says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened, as in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Now, even though the walls were completed and finished, in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. Say, with fasting. In sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Now, the other two parts, we will not practice. Okay, we will do the fasting part, but we will not put the part in sackcloth part in. And we will not put the dust part in. Hallelujah. We will be fasting. And even though they have finished everything, they were fasting. So you don't fast just because you didn't finish. You also fast after you finish for the reason of consecrating yourself to God. But what's the reason for their fast in Nehemiah chapter 9? I'll show it to you here. After a long prayer or dedication from verse 5 onwards with musicians. And as they came before God and they prayed before God, repeating all those things that God has done and all the wonderful things that God has made, look at the last verse of chapter 9, verse 38. And because of all these, we made a sure covenant and write it, and our leaders and our Levites and our priests seal it. Reason number 5 for our fasting. We are preparing ourselves to make a church covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And on June the 9th, as we consecrate ourselves for the 10th anniversary, as we complete a 10th anniversary, complete our 10 years, and as we look to the 11th year, we want to make a new covenant with our Lord for the next 10 years. And a covenant is something that we must make with fasting and prayer. You don't rush into it. You consecrate yourself. You confess your sins before God. You cleanse yourself. Prepare your hearts and your minds. And on June the 2nd, and June, we will end the fast. And then we have one more week, and June the 9th, we will make a covenant with our God. And we will consecrate ourselves afresh for the next 10 years, for the next decade, a blood covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there will be a Lord's Supper, but it will be a very special Lord's Supper. And it will be a blood covenant that we will make with our Lord. Tabernacle of glory and the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's our fifth reason for the fast. And as we fast and pray, remembering these five reasons for this fast, of course God will meet every need that is there. But we encourage, as you look into these five reasons as we fast and pray, it is important that as we seek God throughout this month, that we confess our sins before God. Private sins must be confessed privately. Public sins must be confessed publicly. Where you have strife or hurt with another person, you must seek to remove that in so far as you can. I know that relationship takes two, but in so far as you can. And we must cleanse ourselves, our hands and our hearts before God, and prepare ourselves to meet our God, and consecrate ourselves afresh for the task that God has for us. And together with humbling ourselves before God in prayers and fastings and with confessions before God, we need to also be persistent. In other words, you must be strong from the beginning to the end. Don't weaken even throughout the fast, because 1 month can be reasonably long for most people, although it's less than 40 days. But for some, it could be pretty long. But we must be persistent. Even if you begin your fast and you find difficulties, etc., you must be persistent. Persistence is very, very important. And there must also be intensity. There must be intensity of our prayers. That means you mean it all your heart and life, and you consecrate all your desires to God during this 1 month of fasting. I'd like to encourage you that as you fast and pray in these five areas, God will meet every personal need in your life, even without you talking to God about it. And I know many of you, many encouragement throughout the fast, and we will encourage you from Sunday to Sunday. After all, it will only be another 3 Sundays. Not too far to complete your fast. And we will encourage you. And our word to you is never give up as you begin to consecrate yourself to God. And sometimes the answer may take long to come in different areas. But one of the things that we must do is we must never give up. We must press on. You must have faith and you must have hope. I found out that the reason why many people's faith are weak is because their hope is weak. You see, hope is the atmosphere in which faith is conceived. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, faith is a substance. Say, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith comes from hope. It's a substantiating of things hoped for. The word substance is actually a participle and not a noun. Faith is a substantiating or substantiation of things hoped for. The things that are in the hope realm, your dreams, your vision, your desires become materialized, crystallized, and become manifested on this earth. That part is the faith part. But we must always have hope. Hope is a foundation where faith can be nurtured. You see, faith is like the outer skin, the outer body. Faith consists of 5 areas. Faith consists of desire. Faith consists of vision. Faith consists of right thinking. Faith consists of right speaking. And it consists of right action. Faith consists of these 5 things. If you study these 5 areas carefully, they are more the mechanical parts. Behind these mechanical parts are hope. Hope comes from God. Your faith may be shaken from time to time, like the disciples whose faith were growing, like Abraham whose faith at times shook and at times doubted God before his faith became strong and he glorified God. But your hope must never waver for your faith to survive. Think about it. As Christians, we should never, ever lose our hope. I found that the reason why many people's faith cannot stand trials and tribulations and testing and tough times and difficult situations is because their hope is not strong enough. Let's look at the book of Romans chapter 4. Now we are talking about fasting and prayer, and we are stirring up your faith and hope in God as you press on into this fasting and prayer. Romans chapter 4. And when you start fasting, don't ever give up. Chapter 4. Whatever you're believing God for that is in line with His perfect will, never give up. Say, never give up. Chapter 4. It says here in verse 19 and 20. This is talking about Father Abraham. And not being weak in faith. I could sense the power of God going through somebody's eyes right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 19 and 20. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now this is a wonderful testimony of how faith triumphs. But before faith triumphs, hope must triumph. You must come to a situation where you never give up. Say, never give up. In fasting and prayer, in everything in the Christian life, I never give up. It may take time, but I never give up. Now in verse 18, it says, who contrary to hope, that means when hope dies, when hope fails, he says, in hope, believe. It was not an ordinary human hope. It was the hope of God. The hope in God. And think about it. If you really, really, really believe in God, there is always hope. If you really, really, really believe in the God of miracles, there will always be hope. Hope can only die if God is dead. But thanks be to God, He is risen from the grave and He lives forevermore. So say I, never give up. Strengthen your hope and your faith will receive strength. So in summary, Abraham's hope was strengthened first before his faith was strengthened. As long as your hope is unshakable, your dreams that you dream, no one can steal it from you. You will live and breathe and die by your dreams and visions. And even to your last dying breath, you know that it can be. Then your faith is in an environment for it to be strong. Strong hope produces strong faith. Hope, like faith, comes from God's Word. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10 verse 17. But look at hope and how it comes in Psalms 119. And I just read about three or four places. There are many, many places in Psalms. You know that of all the different books in the Bible, the book of Psalms records the emotions of man, how it goes up and down, how he goes to different cycles, and hopelessness, despair, anger, agony, every emotion you can dream of, think of, feel with is in the book of Psalms. And in spite of all the spectrum of human emotions in the book of Psalms, yet
even at times when his own faith is failing, when the psalmist's own faith is failing, his hope never gave up. In Psalms 119, let me tell you, sometimes your faith fails, but if your hope doesn't fail, you will rise again. If your faith fails and your hope fails, it will be the end. But if your faith fails and your hope never fails, there will still be an atmosphere for your faith to come out again. Hallelujah. Like Peter on the water, he may be drowning at one time, walking on water and then drowning. And then when he cried out to Jesus, you know there's hope in Jesus. Jesus, save me! Jesus grabbed his hand and they walked back together on the water. Here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. He'll lift you up and he'll help you to stand. Yes, here comes Jesus. Is the master of the waves that roll. Here comes Jesus. He'll lift you up. As long even though Peter's faith failed, his hope in Jesus was there. His hope cried out, Lord Jesus, save me! And he walked on water again. And I believe this message is important because many of us are not in the position where you never fail. Has anybody here been in a position where you never fail? Put up your hands. None. All of us, from time to time, may fail. But as long as your hope is alive, you will rise again. Don't let your hope die. And Peter walked on water again. Later on, he failed Jesus again. But then his hope didn't die and he came back to the Lord again. And then when he was with the Apostle Paul in the circumcision controversy, he failed again. But then because his hope never died, he rose again. Hallelujah! Your hope should always be alive. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 74. It is all from Psalms 119. Although you'll find some things from other Psalms, same type of phrase. I can find several more in other Psalms, but it's easy to find all in one chapter for reference. Psalms 119, verse 74. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in your word. Hope comes from the word of God. Verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation. Look, his own emotions are failing. But he says, I hope in your word. Psalms 119 verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. If you look at his situation, he was surrounded by difficulty. Psalms 119 verse 147. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hope comes by resting in the word of God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it says here, Hebrews chapter 6, just to show you how important hope is to the process of faith. See, many of us want strong faith, but unless you have strong hope,
you cannot have strong faith. Because faith is a substance of hope. If your hope is weak, your faith will be weak. And the reason some people have strong faith is because their dreams are strong. The reason some people's faith are strong is because their visions are strong. Visions and dreams are in the realm of hope. If your hope is strong, then your faith has the potential to be strong. You can never grow stronger in faith than your hope. The reason some people's faith are strong is because their visions are strong. Visions and dreams are in the realm of hope. If your hope is strong, then your faith has the potential to be strong. You can never grow stronger in faith than your hope. In chapter 6, it says here, in regard to them holding on fast to God, in verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of, what is that? Say it again. Shout it out. Full assurance of hope until the end. Because the full assurance of hope is faith. Faith is the assurance of hope. Correct? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of hope. The full assurance of hope is faith. Nurture your hope and your vision and your dreams. When the dreams that you dream seem to disappear and die, just remember He's still there. He still will hold your hand. Strong hope produces strong faith. And in Ephesians chapter 1, in a prayer, he says, in a prayer for wisdom and revelation, he says, that you and I may know, what's the first thing we must know? Say again, the hope of our calling. Say the hope of our calling. The hope is your vision. The vision of who you are, what you shall be, your destiny in God. Your hope of your calling. And the second thing is the riches of your inheritance in Christ. Then the third is the power of His resurrection. Do you notice the order in which they come? The hope of His calling is important. As you enter into this 1 month fast, remember, say, don't give up. Look at your neighbor, say, don't give up. In everything that you do, remember, don't give up. And I will end with just a little illustration. My illustration is with Pastor Joshua. Thank you. He is my illustrator. Thank you. This is a baby basketball. Not that good at it. My son is better than me. Okay. And you notice that a basketball must bounce. If it doesn't bounce, you better play football with it. Which Shankar loves. And a basketball bouncing symbolizes several things. Now, life has pressure. And in life you need faith, hope, and love. Love gives you an enduring quality. An overcoming quality. Hope gives you a visual quality. Faith gives you a dynamic practicality. In life, we always need faith, hope, and love. Now, hope, of course, in the end, faces back to love. Imagine the skin of this basketball to represent faith. It is the most visible area because faith consists of your desires, your thought life, right thinking, your visions, your spoken word, your actions. These are the mechanics that result from the faith of God that is in your heart. These are the visible manifestations. But this basketball needs not only the skin. A basketball without air inside is not a basketball. If the air in this basketball is reduced, it will not be able to bounce. Correct? The air in this basketball represents hope. We must be full of hope for our faith to work. The reason why some people's faith, which is a skin, not a basketball, is not bouncy, is because their hope is not full. Full assurance of hope is important. So some people, their hope is only a little bit, and when they are pressed against a difficult circumstances, you go plop. They don't fall down like a basketball. They fall down like Play-Doh. Plop. You don't hear the nice bouncy sound. Praise the Lord. I have another illustration which I cannot use. But they fall down like a clump of mud. And they cannot bounce back. Their bounciness is not there. And in life, if you don't have bounciness, it is not worth living. It is not worth living. Some people pray for long life. But you must pray specifically. Because if you pray for long life and you don't have a healthy long life, and you were sick from 40 to 120. You don't want the quantity of life alone. You want the quality of life. The quantity of life without quality is only misery multiplied. It is only the binomial theorem of your misery. It's the exponential curve. You would rather die than live another extra day if that life was not a good life. It is not just the quality and quantity, but the quality of our life. In a similar way, as we pray in God in various areas in life, you must have an ability to bounce. Now the person who bounces you is the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will bounce you. You and I are the bouncing ball. And God is bouncing you to the goalpost. Or rather goalpost, excuse me, I've gone into football. Whatever you call that thing that they throw the basketball into. And what do they call that? The basket, the net. And your netting could be from this place here to the piano. Praise God, we're getting a new piano. That piano will go to the marriage hall. And from here to the piano. And God wants to bring you there. Now God could play it like Michael Jordan style and give you up. And you enter the basket. Thank you. Can you return the ball? Thank you. And in one go, in your life, you are like a shooting rocket. No bounce. Just from God, the hand of God, into the basket of God. That is not the earthly life. In life, between your conception, whether you're born again, from the day you begin to walk with God, to the time of your destiny, there are many bounces. Correct? Now, if I don't have somebody in front of me, my bounces are very systematic and very minimum. Correct? And I reach the end and I go. It goes in. Praise God. But what happens if you have an opposition team? Does the number of bounces increase? Of course. As you bounce, the fellow is trying to get your ball, you got to go this way, then this way, and then sometimes you're stationary in the same position, correct? And sometimes when you were stationary in the same position, bouncing away, and every time you bounce, there's pressure. You are complaining. Oh God, why am I not moving? Oh God, why is nothing happening? Keep your faith full and your hope full. And then when God's timing comes, He will move you out of the nervous situation to bring it in. Now, for the ball to bounce, if you have a microscope and you see in slow motion, you will see that the ball is depressed. And then it bounces back out of the depression. If the ball cannot be depressed and bounce back and resume the old shape, it cannot bounce. If the ball is depressed and cannot resume its old position, it will not bounce. And it will only bounce and it stops. The bouncing of the ball symbolizes the pressures of your life. Not all our lives have the same roads. We all have different roads in which we take. Because of our different destinies, different calls, and different giftings, God bounces you in different ways towards your destiny. Sometimes you seem to be in the same position, but as long as your life is surrendered to God, and as long as you retain your bounceability, which is only maintained when your hope is full and your faith is strong. Of course, if it's full of air and the membrane breaks, the air will also be lost. So faith is necessary. The membrane must be strong to contain the air. If it's like a balloon, you throw it, it may burst. So it has to be strong faith too, to bounce. But your life is like a basketball. Sometimes when the pressure is there, and as you fast and pray, as you seek God for all the five things, and as you consecrate your life to God, throughout this month, you may have pressures to give up. Say, don't give up. We must have bounceability. Some of us may have been bound on one spot for 99 times. Well, why not make it 100? And remember, as long as God is in control of that ball in your life, your only responsibility is to keep your hope up, to keep your faith strong. Never give up. Say, never give up. And you must retain your bounceability. And as long as you can bounce, God will bring you to your destiny. Amen. And so as you pray before God, remember this illustration. And we must pray with our dreams for your life, for Tabernacle of Glory, for this nation, thank you, for this city. Dream your dreams and dream your vision. Let your hope be strong. Dream your dreams for your ministries and for your businesses and for your profession. Don't let your dream die. If your dream will only die if your hope dies, and you don't have any more bounceability, keep your dream strong. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down. But the Lord will lift him up with his right hand. Many times you may fail. Many times you may face difficulties and tough times. Don't give up. Say, don't give up. Let your dreams and your hopes and your visions grow stronger still. Retain the fullness of your hope. And if you hold your hope long enough, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. That hope turned into faith. And that faith brought a manifestation of something impossible. At the age of 100, Abraham and Sarah had a child. Hallelujah. If you want to walk in the realm of miracles, remember these 5 reasons for consecrating this corporate fast. Keep your dreams strong. Keep the dreams and the prophecies and the visions for this land, for this nation. As you fast and pray, write down all the visions, the dreams for this city, for this land, for this church, for the churches of Malaysia, all over. Bring it before your eyes, let them grow stronger and stronger. And no matter how difficult the task, how difficult the opposition, know that it shall be done if you don't give up. Say, don't give up. Keep your hope up. I know some of you struggle in your faith, but pump up your hope first. Restore your hope. And as your hope is restored, then you can restore your faith. And you will be able to press through. And at the end of this month, we're going to see a release of an abundance of miracles. The beginning of Isaiah 90 is upon your life. Isaiah 66 chapters. Isaiah 60 is upon your life. The Lord will bless you as you partake of this fast. And most of all, we want to consecrate ourselves to the task that God has set for us. That on June the 9th, we want to enter into a blood covenant with our God. To love Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to do His will. And so Tabernacle of Glory in the month of May, the 5th month of this year, shall bow on our knees and shall humble ourselves before God with fasting and prayer to seek our God and our Father so that God can work out His will in our life. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We ask, O God, that You establish us in Your grace and in Your mercy, in Your goodness. As we enter into this time of fasting and soul searching, as we enter this time, O God, to perform and do Your will, so that when we stand before You in heaven, face to face, we will say we have finished the work which You have given us to finish. Father, we want to please You. We want to hear the voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved church in which I am well pleased." We want to hear that from You, O God, as we bow ourselves before You to do Your perfect will. To that end and purpose, Lord, we consecrate ourselves and we proclaim this fast, knowing that You are the true and living God, who is the God of miracles, who works powerfully in our lives. We thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God. Now, according to your own ability in each one of your lives, even if you have done it in the first service, if you were here, do it again now. I want you to stand up from your seat wherever you are and remain where you are seated, but stand up wherever you are. If you want to be a part of this corporate fast, we're going to bring ourselves before God. It's going to be more powerful when we do it together. Remember, in accordance to your ability. So it's not going to be the same fast for everyone, but everyone is going to do some sort of fasting. Together, let's seek the Lord. Together, let's seek to win the lost for Jesus. Together, let's seek to turn around the tide and extend the kingdom of God in our city, in our land. Together, let us press on into the glory of God, that which God has for each one of us. Father God, be in a position of surrender to God with your hands in a surrendered position to God. Thank You, Father God. How precious, O Lord, is a consecrated heart and a sanctified life. How precious, O God, is a life fully surrendered to God. If on this planet Earth you could find just one individual who will surrender their all to Jesus without reservation. You could use the individual to win the whole world to Jesus, to turn all the nations of the world to the feet of Jesus Christ. Father God, we, the church, according to each one of our individual ability, come before you now, Lord, to consecrate before you a fast. Consecrate our lives to you. Lord, we don't live for ourselves, but we live for Jesus. We long and desire to do only your will, and that your will be established in your church, in every ministry and department, and in every life. Not our will, but your will be done. We come before you, O God, in humility, in weakness, and in surrender. And we ask, O God, that because of your destiny and your call on this church, you give us a task that we can never achieve in our own strength. You give us visions that we cannot overcome and fulfill in our own strength. But yet we hold tightly to them because we know they are born of your Spirit and they are from you. You give us destinies, O God, beyond the destiny of common men, to rise up to the nations of the world to declare your glory, that the whole earth shall see the glory of the Lord. And Father God, as a church, we consecrate ourselves to you in this part. Strengthen each one of us, O Lord, who needs strength in different vocations and work throughout this part. Strengthen our desires and our visions and our dreams in you, that we may complete this fast in you to your glory. May our love for you increase even more and more and more, you be in our lives throughout this fast. Father, we know, Lord, that that is the day of the Lord. And a day will come, O God, when there will not be enough room to contain all your blessings and all the souls that you send to the church. Father, to that end, we consecrate ourselves. We consecrate ourselves, O God, in this fast to tear down the powers of darkness, to receive, to bring forth the fivefold ministries and the Christian entrepreneurs, and to cut a covenant with you. It is a sacred act, O God, to which we commit ourselves. We come not in our strength or in our own wisdom, but we come just as we are. Like the day we first met you and made Jesus our Lord and Savior, where we recognize that nothing in ourselves can make us good or holy, but only Jesus in us. So we come afresh to consecrate ourselves to you as a church, to receive from you the strength to fast and to pray. Even that strength needs to come from you. And this day, Lord, we receive it into our lives. Your anointing, your strength, your grace, your power, your infilling, your love, your hope, your faith, your vision, your dream in our lives. We receive, O God. Oh, we receive, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that it shall be done and it shall be accomplished. And whatever you're designed to be accomplished in the spirit world through this path corporately, let it be done according to your will. I know there are many more things that are taking place that you have not shown us, but we will do our part to fast and pray and let you do your part, O God. So So as a church, Lord, we consecrate ourselves to this fast. Lord, I pray for every personal need, every professional or family need in our midst. Let those also be met, O God, as each one of them consecrate corporately to you on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray not only for those who belong to this church and are in this church, but to those also who are not born again yet, but who are predestined to be born again and to join this church. God, we break the chains of darkness over their lives. We thank you, Father God, and receive, O God, our prayers and our fasting as we surrender all to you, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust in His presence. I surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. If by perchance some of you here have never been born again, you never make a decision for Jesus, you can come and do it now. And then join us as we seek God in this fasting prayer. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely. I will ever love, trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender, I surrender all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. God bless you as you go.